Sensitive Mind with Armand DeMille.
It's Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. A recent article in the New York Times by Natalie Angier, A-N-G-I-E-R. Writes a great deal for the New York Times about things of psychology. She said, what animals do, don't cover it. And she says, basically, there are things you could take for granted for sure that animals do and the way animals respond. She said that you could kind of predict humans are going to do, like humans are going to respond in certain ways around issues of shelter, protection, finding food, you know, it's all normal, sex, drive, and all that stuff. Natalie's argument is, yeah, but you've got human consciousness, and that overrides. She said that overrides all this stuff. She says if you're aware of what happens in your body, and you're aware of your own chemistry, and you're really aware of it, you can override it by looking at your own evidence. So, let's take that to a couple of places. One of the questions we received recently is, when is therapy? Here's one that relates to all that we're talking about today, which is we're going to be talking about bonding, talking about what makes people hang out with each other and why. But what makes people leave therapy prematurely? Now, not just psychotherapy, just about any therapy you're doing. It could be physiotherapy, it could be physical therapy, it could be, you know, stuff that you're doing to fix yourself. And this article talks about five reasons. And I kind of got a kick out of it because I really understood it. Number one, the first reason that people leave therapy is because they say, my therapist ticked me off. I got angry at my therapist. Now, when I see people who consult with me and I ask, why'd you leave therapy? They say, well, that therapist wasn't doing it for me anymore. But then I ask them real closely, what bothered you? And they tell me something the therapist said that got them angry. Therapists may have made a judgment, may have made a passing remark, well, you always do that or something like that, got the person angry. Now, the problem with this is, of course, that's a good thing. The person says, you know, this is not right for me. But the problem is that most of the reason that people have to be in therapy is because they can't deal with anger effectively. So when your therapist gets you angry, I always send the person back. Go back and confront that person. Go back and talk to that person about it. Because it's an act of, it's a growth when you could communicate something that displeases you and work towards something that's effective. Number two, second reason that people claim they leave a process, an education, or psychotherapy is, I can't afford it anymore. Well, I'm sorry, that's not good enough, because you can't afford very often not to go to it if you're unhappy. If you're unhappy in your life and you can't, you know, you have to be getting something for your time, but if you can't afford it, it generally means that there is a you're at a level of desperation, because if you have to take care of yourself, if you're doing therapy for your leg because you need to walk, unless you could truly substitute what you're doing, that therapy is very important so that you could earn enough. Number three, I don't think it's going anywhere. And that's people who have been around for a long time. Maybe you're right. It's not going anywhere. But by bringing it up with your therapist, you cut to it. Number four, I'm not cut out for therapy. Right? That's another argument that people make. And the number five is I'm just going to call and cancel, and that's what they do. But I tell you the major reason I think people leave. I think people leave because they don't bond with a therapist. And here's what I think therapy is about a lot of the time. I think psychotherapy has maybe three different values. One value is information. It is great to see somebody who knows a lot, who can guide you to how you could find your own information, who could help you by giving you information about information. So, for example, if you could consult with a therapist and that therapist tells you, you know, maybe you should check your hormones, and here's a way to check your hormones, and here's the guidelines you use, and this is where you search it out, and they empower you to use the information that they give you so that you go out on your own and do things, that's pretty terrific. That's an informational therapist. That's a therapist who gives information. That's people you see one or two times. You don't necessarily see them more than that. And you get information and you proceed from there. Ideally, the therapist would call you 3 months later and say, how did my information work? Unfortunately, with informational therapists, you tend to get lost among the papers. You know, 3 months later, they're not calling you. You don't think of calling them. They may tell you, check in with me and let me know how it goes, but you kind of forget about them. So the real good informational therapist will be calling you and tell you months down the line, so how did that work? How is it working for you? The next part of it is the bonding. I think therapy works the most. And I think medicine and all of the things you do work best when you connect with the person who's providing it. And I mean really connect. When you feel like you're with somebody, and when you're with them, you feel safe. That's terrific. I spoke to a woman yesterday who told me about her physician in New Jersey, that she's got a particular problem. She's dealing with the hospitals quite a bit, but she says, you know, I love my doctor. She said, my doctor cares about me. I know him. He takes my calls. He's really there for me. I would never switch. He may not be doing the right job completely, but not I'm in love with him, but I love him and he loves me and I know that. And that's why I want to continue with him. You could feel that way with your accountant. You could feel that way with people that you know. You know, they're just fine, fine people. And you care about them a great deal. Well, a lot of people go through life not trusting anyone and not bonding to anyone. Sometimes you have a shield around you where you just can't trust anyone. Most men I know are like that. They don't trust anybody. They're supposed to be on their own. They go see someone and they go to a therapist and they try it out. And of course, a lot of people come to me because they know I'm a good guy. And so they come to me and they talk to me, and you could see this trust bond is missing. So if they ask me to do it, if I say to them, look, maybe you should meet somebody and see a therapist, the main reason they're going is to trust that person, is to build a trust, is to open the gate of their hearts so that they could begin to trust somebody. So as far as I'm concerned, the greatest therapy that is ever done is the work by a therapist who you can trust, who you can feel good towards, who you want to continue seeing on a repeated basis because something about your heart opens with them. And as it opens with them, it begins opening elsewhere. Part of the reason. So there are two kinds of therapists. There's the informational therapist who doesn't necessarily need you to come back. Then there's the bonding therapist. There's the one who says, we will work this out together. When the client feels the bond towards the therapist, they come back. They repeatedly come back. They want to come back. When the client doesn't feel the bond, they leave with just a certain amount of information. Okay. Now, what makes this bond happen in people? And that's a real question. It seems more and more we're learning about hormones. And I hate to keep going with hormones, but we are learning. We are learning about, and the one I want to talk about is the most popular one on the table nowadays. A lot of people are talking about prolactin. They're talking about prolactin because they discovered that the presence of prolactin is a bonding feeling. The presence of oxytocin. Oxytocin, the presence of oxytocin gives you a feeling of love. A feeling of caring. Oxytocin is a hormone and a neurotransmitter both. Once believed to confine its effect to inducing labor and milk ejection, oxytocin actually has far-reaching effects on both sexes. You could not fall in love without oxytocin. Now, this is a very interesting thing. The oxytocin feeling is a feeling of embracing, loving, caring. How do you get oxytocin? How do you get it to work? You could be with the very same person. And I'll tell you, if you want to do it, I have a good friend who says, you got to push through it. And she says so many times she's been challenged romantically. And she pushes through to the oxytocin level. She pushes through her own resistance to it. And he has to push through his resistance to it. They have to push through their resistance. So it is possible, if you feel alienated from somebody, to push through to the point where you feel connected to them. And it takes a little work. You could not fall in love without oxytocin. I thought about falling in love, and I was thinking about people who fall in love. Listen to this as an interesting hypothesis. No two people ever fall in love. That's my theory. One person falls in love. So there's a person walking around who's got this oxytocin kind of dripping off their skin, right? And they look, it's like glue. And they see somebody walking down the street who's a little bit responsive to them. And they glue on to them. And they go, oh, you're it. That's it. You're my guy. You're the one I want. I fall in love with you. I oxytocin you. Right? And he may or may not. He may be responsive. He may be sexually responsive. He goes, well, okay. You want some sex? Here's some sex. And then he gets sex and he figures that feels nice. And he gets other pleasurable feelings that kind of rev him up. While she's falling madly in love with him, he's saying, I really appreciate how good the sex is and how often it's available. And this person is wide open to me. And eventually, after having sex for a period of time, he says, boy, I really like her. And he begins to feel his own caring for her as they lay around and look in each other's eyes after a while. But I think falling in love is a one-sided issue. Sometimes it happens to two at once, but I think that's rare. I think it's one person going out there just ready for the moment, and the moment happens. The primary conscious behavior or thought process that increases oxytocin is caring. You care for another person. Appreciation, generous touch, gratitude, emotional connections with others, these all raise oxytocin. In addition, the oxytocin appears to be behind many of the health benefits for meditation, massage, and acupuncture. So here's what happens. What are the health benefits that we're talking about? You are healthier in so many ways, because once you have oxytocin, you calm down. A single rat injected with oxytocin has a calming effect on a cage full of anxious rats. Put one calm one in there, you know? That's why when you go to a meeting where there's somebody at the head who's leading a meditation, you know, and you go see the Dalai Lama, or you go see somebody, it could be 2,000 people walk in, and here's this one saintly person up on the stage, and you all calm down. You feel the drop. Oxytocin increases sexual receptivity, and it also counteracts impotence. It's a kind of a funny thing. When you feel impotent, very often the oxytocin bonding helps you get past it. Oxytocin counteracts the effects of cortisol. Now, cortisol, we know, is the stress hormone. And you get stress hormone, you get all stressed out. And that's why a lot of guys, you know, they feel really stressed out and they go home and their kids are there. And they see their kids and they just love their kids. The kids kind of project, you kind of get this oxytocin working in you. And you could relax into it. I don't mind when the kids want to play when they come home, they say. I could be stressed out, but the kids are fine. Instead, they come home and they're stressed out, and their wife says, let me tell you about the problems, that's more cortisol. That's more stress. Oxytocin. So now remember, we're talking about a hormone that we have. Oxytocin has powerful effects on the body. It strongly affects your mind, your behavior. It's nature's antidepressant, and it's an anti-anxiety hormone. The people who are absent of oxytocin, you could see. You could just see it in the way they behave all day. They're kind of agitated. There's kind of an agitated state of being. Oxytocin also reduces cravings, which makes it for healing addictions of all kinds. They took some rats addicted to heroin, and less of that drug. When experimenters raised oxytocin levels, they desired less of the drug. So, have you heard the saying, the more you give, the more you get? Well, it applies to oxytocin, too. The more you nurture and connect with other people, the more responsive your body and brain becomes to it. This makes it an unusual neurotransmitter. Compare it with substances like alcohol or caffeine. The more you use alcohol or caffeine, the greater the quantity you require to obtain the same effect, right? Oxytocin is the opposite. The more you give and nurture, the more strongly you respond. It kind of feeds itself. You can't take it as a pill because it breaks down in the stomach, and then we learned it winds up with other side effects like increased blood pressure, heart rate, cardiac output, uterine contractions. It's not something that's meant to go in the blood. It's meant to be specific. The only artificial way to keep oxytocin up is to kind of try to do it artificially. It doesn't work. What works? Gazing in somebody's eyes. Looking in the eyes of somebody else for some period of time does it. Within your power to release oxytocin within your brain and body, consciously stick to the behaviors that promote its productions in areas of the body and brain that yield beneficial effects, right? Nurture. Avoid relationship distress. Just stay away from it. Because of its role in bonding to reduce craving, we believe it's a key to authentic monogamy. And of course, peace. If you want to stay in love, you need to sustain the production of oxytocin. This happens effortlessly at some point after conventional sex enters the equation. But, you know, falling in love calls forth a soup of neurochemicals. However, there are other chemicals, such as prolactin, which also have to deal with a sexual relationship between two people. And prolactin has the opposite effect. It has the effect of distancing you. There is this thing that seems to happen in sex, and this is the best as I understand it. When you have continuous orgasm, or when you have orgasm over and over again, there is an increase in prolactin. Prolactin is built into the system so that you will get away from the person you had sex with, mostly among men, and go, you know, have sex with somebody else. Prolactin is built in to get you to get a distance. So let's say we have three responses. Let's say you know somebody. And it's either oxytocin, neutral, or prolactin. Prolactin, I'm going to push you away. Oxytocin, I want to hug you. Neutral, I'm just standing here. Think about getting together with the person you love. When they first see you, what do they feel? You hope they feel oxytocin. They may feel neutral. They could feel prolactin. And it's really sad if they do. If they have an aversion to you, somehow, it's something you've got to deal with. Over time, the roller coaster of highs and lows in relationships leads to subconscious defenses and emotional distance between partners. Once uneasiness enters your intimate relationship, the bond between the two of you tends to weaken. You produce less oxytocin. So you can see how biology's agenda unravels your relationship over time. It is not like nature wanted you to stay in a long-term relationship. It didn't. Nature designed you to have babies and start over again somewhere else. It did. Long-term relationships are very, very difficult. Nature fights against it. I mean, how many of you still feel turned on to your mate after a number of years? Situations confusing even to the scientists because levels of oxytocin rise sharply in most of during orgasm. However, research suggests that this 5-minute surge may have little to do with emotional bonding. Some people get up and leave. Some people want to just know. The best plan is to consciously encourage this production and tap the health benefits described above. And that means make sure you make contact. Make contact. If you are laying in bed with somebody who's not looking at you, turn around. Have them look at you. Let them see that you're there. Gaze into each other's eyes when you talk to each other. Make the connection. Include that connection in your lovemaking. Very often, a lot of couples, they just don't ever look in each other's eyes any longer. Oxytocin actually arises in women whose relationships are causing them a lot of stress for reasons that we don't really understand. So when a man moves to a distance in a relationship, when he becomes less available, the woman's oxytocin raises. Well, guess that's why guys are, playing hard to get. When the guy goes to a distance, her oxytocin raises. Whew. And that's true. He's less available. She reaches for him. You see that happen so often. Oxytocin does rise in the animals' brains for hours after mating. It appears that makes them engage in riskier than normal behaviors. They do risky stuff. Okay, so here we are, my friends. Gazing into your lover's eyes isn't only romantic. It may mimic early attachments that forever attract your brain and your body. We're talking about bonding, and we're talking about oxytocin, and we're going to be talking about you in a little bit. Oxytocin is a brain chemical that is associated with pair bonding. Mother-infant, male-female, male-male, female-female, increased paternal involvement with children, monogamy. This is all about oxytocin. In humans, you could release it during hugging and pleasant touch. A simple touch makes all the difference in the world so often, and people forget to touch. It appears to change the brain signals related to it. Somebody could be completely at peace. You're really lucky. The luckiest thing in the world is if you could work with someone you love. Then that oxytocin is kind of there, both in your workplace and in the rest of your life as well. The trouble is, it always winds up complicated. Armand DeMille here with you. We're going to be taking your calls, too. People with schizophrenia or autism often avoid eye-to-eye looking. One of the things of mental disturbance, serious mental disturbance, people don't look at the eyes. and they avoid meaningful contact. And it's there's at the University of Southern California, the researchers theorized the use of oxytocin may act on the brains of patients with schizophrenia and increase their contact. They tried it through a nasal spray, and it's beginning to work, but it has side effects. And they're still trying to figure it out. The hormone, also known by a trade name Picotin, has been used for years to induce labor and promote lactation in women. So, a hug, a touch, the release of the hormone. We want to know if oxytocin can also impact social and emotional behaviors. Okay, now one last thing about it. Let's talk about progesterone and oxytocin. A study by Stephanie Brown, another of the great Stephanies at the University of Michigan, found that women who perform closeness tests with a partner had elevated levels of progesterone in their saliva. Now, this is very important. You could test levels of progesterone in your saliva, and they found there was a correlation between the progesterone and the oxytocin, meaning that we could be at the point where we could test your saliva for oxytocin levels. The bottom line for women was hanging out with friends is really healthy. And that hanging out, keeping eye contacting, making contact really improves your health and well-being. So prolactin, one more thing about prolactin. Prolactin, you know, like this, it's a funny hormone because when you get it, you don't feel connected, you feel more disconnected. It rises 400% more after orgasm. I mean, 400% more than it does after orgasm with intercourse, right? Than it does after masturbation to orgasm. So this feeling of feeling separated raises much more after orgasm with intercourse. And you know, it's a funny thing. You can make love and you could have a wonderful day making love, and then that'll carry you for a day or 2 days. And then it goes away. And when it goes away, it sometimes goes away so strongly that the person doesn't even know you. You wonder, what happened? Hold on, we were so close. Let me give you one more warning about prolactinomas. A prolactinoma is a condition of the brain that gives you an excess of prolactin. It's like a tumor in the, what do you think, pituitary? Maybe pituitary. And a prolactinoma, when you get it, sometimes they resolve by themselves, gives you a feeling of feeling separated from everybody. If you're a therapist and somebody comes in and they talk about feeling really distant, there's part of what you want to check them for is a prolactinoma. You want to ask questions because that question could be, did you always feel this way? Has this feeling been growing? And you got to be careful not to interpret too much psychologically, because when you interpret psychologically, you sometimes miss the fact that something may be going on with the person that may be organic in nature. You know, our responsibility is to get you to check out yourself as well physically. But you listen to WBAI, and most of you do take care of yourself physically and check yourself out all the time. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break, and when we do, we're going to take your calls at 212-209-2900. You could start calling and then just redial and redial. 212-209-2900. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll play a little special music, and then we will continue with our discussion of bonding or disbonding. Isn't it funny we finally got a substance that bonded everything together so well it could never come apart, and it's called crazy glue. You don't think that's funny, but I do think it's funny. When we come back, I will tell you my joke of the week. Have a great joke.
You're tuned to Hi-Fi. WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial, New York.
Pencil. Okay, this is Joe Franklin broadcasting on radio station WBAI.
It's 99.5% all natural and preservative free. WBAI FM in New York.
I love this radio station.
Hi, this is Tony Trischka, and you're listening to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and
okay,
around the world.
Okay, here we go, Armand. Stand by.
Expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your
five
comments,
seconds.
Questions, and observations.
Four.
That's TalkBack
three,
right here on WBAI.
Two, one, go.
Alger, Alger, by Les Orientales, from an album by Putumayo called Acoustic Arabian. So an old Italian lived in New Jersey, and he wanted to plant, this is my joke of the day, he wanted to plant his tomato garden, but it was very difficult work. He's an elderly guy, and the ground is hard, and when the ground is hard, you have to till your soil, and it's hard to do. But his only son, Vincent, who used to help him, was in jail. Right? The old man wrote a letter to his son and described the predicament. He said, "Dear Vincent, I'm pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up the garden. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. You'd turn the soil over for me, and you'd be happy to dig this plot for me, and I'd plant the seeds and plant the tomatoes, but I just can't do it. Love, Papa." A few days later, he got a letter from his son. "Dear Pop, don't dig up that garden. That's where the bodies are buried. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, the FBI agents and the local police arrived, and they dug up the entire area without finding any bodies, of course. They apologized to the old man, and they left. The same day, the man received another letter from his son, which said, "Dear Pop, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. It's the best I could do under the circumstances." Oh, isn't that cute? 212-209-2900. Is love enough? Is love enough to make relationships go? Living happily ever after, needing only be for fairy tales. Some Australian researchers have identified what it takes to keep a couple together, and it's not a lot more than being in love. A couple's age, their previous relationship, and whether they smoke or not are factors that influence whether the marriage is going to last. They did a study called What's Love Got to Do With It? They tracked 2,500 couples married and living from 2001 to 2007 to identify factors associated with those who remained together compared to those who divorced or separated. It found that a husband who is 9 years or more older than his wife is twice as likely to leave his wife. As are husbands who get married before they turn 25. So young men who get married before they're 25 are twice as likely, and guys who have a 9-year difference are twice as likely to leave their mates. Women who want children much more than their partners are more likely to get a divorce. A couple's parents also play a role in the relationships, with the study showing some 16% of men and women whose parents ever separated or divorced experienced marital separation, compared to 10% for those whose parents did not separate. In other words, if your parents separated, you're more likely to do it. Also, partners on their second or third marriage are 90% more likely to separate than spouses who are on their first. Not surprisingly, money plays a role too. 16% of respondents who indicated they were poor or where the husband, not the wife, was unemployed, saying they had separated, compared with only 9% of the couples with healthy finances. The less money you have, the more the tendency to move away. It'd be surprising, because you would think you'd stick together, you know? But the stresses, you share the stresses. And what happens with stresses? What do we know? Prolactin. Stresses. You walk in the house, where's the oxytocin? It's hard to love somebody when you're struggling for every bit and hoping the other person provides it. Couples where one person and not the other smoke are more likely to have a relationship that splits. Factors found to be not significantly affect separation include the age of the children born to the married couple. Okay, the study was jointly written by Professor Bruce Chapman and Rebecca Kippen at the Australian National University. All interesting stuff, don't you think, friends? We think we're so special. We think we run our own lives. We think that destiny is in our hands. Oh, there are so many factors running us. You got your chemistry, you got your history, you got your culture. How are you going to plant your tomatoes? 212-209 2900 is our number. Let's take one of our calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, how are you?
I'm good.
Oh, yeah. I'm calling because I had a question about the oxytocin.
Yes.
Well, basically, what I'm asking about, you're saying that that a touch, when you touch a woman or you hug someone, you have like a chemical, you know, that makes you feel better or love a person?
Well, how about you? Do you?
Well, yeah, I feel, much better. But my actual question was, after making love, sometimes you either want to go to sleep or want to rest.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Not what you say you, you mean you. Sometimes you, what's your name?
My name is Arnaldo.
Hernando?
Arnaldo.
Arnaldo, okay, Arnaldo. So what happens to you is very often you have sex and then you feel like this prolactin comes in and you feel like disappearing for a little while. You know, men talk about it. They say, boy, I wish you would turn into a pizza afterwards because I feel like having something to eat or leaving or doing something or going to sleep. That's the beginning of it. Now, this doesn't happen to women necessarily. You know, women feel this oxytocin that carries through. A lot of it is kind of resulting, especially if the sex is very satisfying to them. So they don't feel the same way. But if a woman understands this in her man, she lets him sleep. She knows it's not personal. She knows it's not against him. But at the other times, when he's aware, if he is keeping visual contact, physical contact, touching, and looking in her eyes, he can help her get back her feeling of connectedness, and he can help get his own back. You know? Right. It's kind of nice when a man falls off to sleep, if it may only last like 10 minutes, 15 right. minutes. You know, if during that period of time, if she would understand it and just love him during that time, when he wakes up, he's a whole different person.
Definitely. But another thing that I would like to understand, you're saying after the orgasm, you don't know that person or you feel like you want to get away from that person.
You feel like you want to get away from that person. That's the way nature built you.
Okay, that's just natural.
Yes, it's a natural reaction.
But it's just for both men and women, right?
It could be. No, it's mostly for men.
Okay.
And it could be immediate, or it could be 2 days later, but sometimes it's immediate. For most men I've known, it's immediate, especially if they're not very connected. If you take the average man who goes on a date, and he meets somebody for the first time, and during a date it's not very polite to look in somebody's eyes directly or make too much contact. But then you do, and then you go home, and at the doorway you kiss, and then she says, do you want to come up? And then you go up and you have sex with this person you barely know. Not much oxytocin has been built up between the two of you. Not much of the affectionate hormone. You've kind of done this on sex. So then by the time you part, you've got a feeling of like, you know, all right, now we're separated. But you didn't have any investment. What we're saying is after a while, the next time you go out, you sit at that restaurant and you look at each other and you care about each other because you've had this intimacy. And by looking at each other and being with each other and breathing in each other's space, you build up the oxytocin so that then when you make love, number one, your orgasms are bigger, your lovemaking is stronger, and the aftermath is prettier.
So the more oxytocin there is, the better the relationship and the love is.
Absolutely.
All right. You build that by basically being just nice and lovable to a person.
That sounds like a perfect formula.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sure. 212-209-2900. I love that. I love the youth of his questions. Because it's so confusing to men. You know, I run men's groups. Groups with a group with a bunch of men. And I love the men who are in the group because they have so, they're so curious and they challenge so many things together. I'm going to start another men's group. If anybody's interested, you should get in touch with my office. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's get take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm on?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Clifford. It's so wonderful to be able to get through to you.
Oh, Clifford, thank you so much for being here.
I was listening to the show, and you had mentioned something that's very close to my life, how people who are diagnosed with schizophrenia can sometimes have a problem feeling closeness in a relationship.
Absolutely.
And my girlfriend is actually schizoaffective bipolar.
Wow.
And we do have, there are issues with that at times. And, like, because I'm aware of that, I try not to get angry if something happens that, you know, might not, you know, like if maybe she feels distance at times and she might push me away, or if she might be looking for affection elsewhere, you know, we always come back to each other. And I was just wondering, what are some exercises that we could do to help practice our closeness together?
Yeah, well, you know, you're dealing with a different kind of reaction there. You're dealing with a different reaction there, because a schizoaffective disorder is, and a manic depressive disorder, that's a lot of stuff. How have you dealt with her over the years? How long have you known her?
We've been going out now about a year and 6 months now, about almost a year and a half. And we had met in college together. We were in the same class.
And how did you learn of the diagnosis?
Okay, Grandma. Sorry, my grandma's ordering some food for me. She's very open about her disorder, and there's many body scars, unfortunately, on her arms that are visible, and she never hides the fact. You know, she's not ashamed of them. And I actually became interested in her and how open she was about her disorder, and I was very curious to learn because she's very educated on it herself.
Yeah, and does she have hallucinations and delusions?
Yes, she does. They have been, like, throughout the year and 6 months that we've been together, they have been very spaced apart, though. There are very few instances. Like, I've only seen one severe manic breakdown, and every once in a while she'll call me to say that she's not sure if she actually sees, like, a bunny rabbit or something like that.
Wow.
And, yeah.
It's a pretty amazing person to be related to, and it's a pretty amazing person she has to be related to, because I could hear you have a great capacity for love. I hear that. And I hear that in your grandmother. I hear that in your grandma. I feel here your relationship with your grandma is like a beautiful thing. Is she available with your grandmother?
Oh, she's online right now ordering some pizza for us.
Right. I wish we could get her to the phone for just a minute. Could you ask her to get away from the online and come to the phone?
Sure. I don't think that's a problem. Grandma.
Grandma.
Grandma. Could you come over here for 1 second? He wants to say hello to you. This is the man you are listening to on the radio.
Hello.
Hello, Grandma. What's your name?
It's Connie.
Hello, Connie. Hey, Connie. Hiya, Connie. Connie, you got a pretty wonderful grandson there, huh?
I know I do.
What's so special about him, Connie?
Oh, he's smart. He's very caring. And he's just a good all-around person.
Good all-around. It's a nice thing to be able to say about your grandson.
Yes,
I guess you must
yes.
be proud to have him around. Does he like the same kind of pizza you like?
Yes.
That's very important. That's very important. Thank you very much for joining us, Connie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Grandma, can I have a spicy chicken, please?
Yeah.
Okay. You want the spicy chicken pizza?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. That's my favorite slice.
I got you. That's beautiful. Well, listen, you know, you got a lot of love in your life, and that means you got a little to spare around. It's kind of nice. And I'm glad you've got it. Did you have a question?
Yeah, well, I was just curious of certain exercises that you can practice as a couple that can help in, you know, staying and remaining close, like in those times when maybe the prolactin levels are a little high. Because we ourselves tried to do the eye contact thing very often, and I hadn't known about the chemical portion of the eye contact.
Well, how about massage? How does she respond to foot massage and stuff like that?
Well, actually, she loves it.
That's what I would think.
I was thinking of that actually just today, because sometimes she has a very hard time getting out of bed, and I try to relaxer into waking up as opposed to the normal way she's usually waking up, which is usually not so good.
Good. So let me recommend you get yourself some good foot massage cream, and they have some really special ones out there, especially the ones from the Dead Sea. You know,
okay.
Because they've got, you know, they're good for waking people out of the Dead Sea, and they have a lot of salt in them, and so get those and give us some massages and say, keep your grandmother on my list. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. It becomes real, you know what I mean? Grandma, get me some spicy chicken pizza. That's my kind of guy. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, how you doing, Armand? I have a question for you that's,
sure.
I guess, kind of related to the topic. I enjoy smoking marijuana on occasion, mm-hmm. and I found something pretty interesting, and I'm not sure if anybody else has come across it, but I get this feeling like, I don't know, almost like I can see through the BS of I guess, life in general. The best way I could explain it would be like, excuse me, like when I'm watching TV. And I'll watch a TV show that I normally watch and I love to watch and I find hilarious and I think all the actors do a great part. But then if I watch it after having smoked, it's almost as if I can see the actors acting. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like I can tell it's an act. I don't believe it anymore. I don't buy it. And the same thing happens like with the relationship that I'm in. Where I feel like, I don't know, it's almost like I can see through it, and it's like, why am I in a relationship? Almost like I become selfish in a way. I'm not quite sure if I'm explaining it properly.
Well, I think you are explaining it. One of the effects of marijuana is to change time perception. And the time perceptual change actually will make you perceive, especially in acting, it'll make you perceive the acting of the person. You'll see, because actors are always acting, but whether you see it or not is just a time gap. It's a little split time gap. That's one. One of the effects that we found about marijuana over time is it does dull the senses. It does dull them over time. And you might try to find some other way of getting yourself to that point. Because after a while, it just becomes so much of a habit that you begin that the grass becomes a better relationship than the person.
Well, luckily I'm not an everyday user. I do smoke on occasion, but I notice that does happen though when I do smoke. And I don't know. I just found it odd.
But you know, I mean, even when you love somebody, when you perceive all of the junk that goes through it, all of that's just part of people being who they are trying to be. And once in a while, when you get to love someone, you really, really get involved in loving them. Their acts, their behaviors, the way they are, the silliness they do, the barking at you, the yelling, the screaming, the fighting over issues that don't matter very much, it disappears. It just becomes silly, you know, and you accept it and you say, it's okay. It's okay. If you got to be upset, you be upset. I'm not going to be upset too.
Okay. All right. That was pretty much my question. Thank you for answering it.
And what's your name, by the way?
My name's Jay.
Jay, thank you for calling in.
All right, thank you.
212-209-2900. Time for one more quick call. Let's take one. Hi, Armand DeMille, you're on the air.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Armand?
Yes.
Hey, Armand, it's Jack Pyra. How you doing?
Hello, Jack. Thank you for calling in. We got men today.
Yeah, I love to listen to your show.
Thank you.
Great. I think I get the funny feeling in all the relationships I've been. I think I'm full of prolactin.
Yeah, you feel that way, don't you, sometimes? I know what you mean. You got a bitter nature to you, and you feel a distance.
I'm not bitter. I might be a little defensive about that, but I'm not bitter.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I sometimes, yeah, I do. There might be sides of me that are angry, but you know what? I really love to find somebody that I love, but I don't know what happens. You know,
I know what you mean. It's going to happen to you one day when you're not looking.
That's what I hear, when everything's all together. But anyway, you know, I notice, like, I'm a musician.
Unfortunately, we're just out of time. I love you.
Oh, shucks. Well, I got a good joke for you before you go. What's Big Red meets rocks?
Tell me.
A big red rock eater.
a big friend. Thank you very much.
I would like that.
Send me an email, will you?
Yes, I will, and I hope to get to talk to you again.
Thank you, Jack. Bye-bye. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to have to be going, my friends. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 2 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, with more of this stuff. Send me an email at armand@thepositivemind.com. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass, Grandma. Grandma's hand, soothe the local unwed mother. Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, Grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, Grandma's hand. Grandma's hand used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. Wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll.